Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Fearscape Media Network. Exploring the unknown. One podcast at a time.
Hey guys, Stefan here from Fearscape Paranormal Podcast and Misters of the Dark. From now until the end of March, we at the Fearscape Media Network are raising funds to support your favorite FSMN shows throughout the next year. One such way is happening on March 5th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be offering live Zoom tarot readings under the moniker Phoenix Moon. I have been reading professionally for 20 years and now offer my services to all of you. Proceeds from the event go to support the network. Go to fearscapemedia.com/tarot to sign up for your slot now. There's only 12 available, so get one while they last. Thanks again, and remember, you can always support the network by going to fearscapemedia.com/support. Stay spooky.
From Fearscape Media, Peer Beyond the Veil is coming back for a new season this March. We're talking government-sponsored mind control, walking on the edge with DMT, wild occultism and deep parapsychology, along with our signature blend of extraterrestrialism, supernaturalism, and cryptid chasing. Bringing you a brand new roster of fascinating guests, each with their own stories and theories on the wild and the wonderful. Peer Beyond the Veil. Find us wherever there's darkness.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Happy that you're able to join us as we continue to explore and try to understand the strange phenomenon that seems to exist all over the world. Stefan and I are on a journey, and we share that journey with you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another frightening episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. I am high as a kite on life tonight. I'm just letting you guys know right now. I'm super excited about life. But this is Stefan Gearhart, host of Fearscape, and I am joined, as always, by my calming and soothing and just splendorific co-host, Mr. Josh Rutledge. How are you this evening, sir?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Ooh, send shivers down my spine. Ooh, lordy. Send shivers and shills up my spine.
Yeah, we discussed what shills were, right?
Yeah.
Shills is when you shit up your back. And then it gives you cold chills. Chills.
Unless it's after some hot chili. It might not be chili, if you know what I mean. But anyways, yeah, that's where we're at tonight, man.
Yeah.
It's like that, man. We have a very, very special guest coming on the show tonight. Josh, why don't you explain who we got coming on tonight?
Yes, we have Jill Shelley, who is the owner of Boyd House, B-O-Y-D House, and it's very haunted house. And she decided, hey, I like ghosts, and I'll buy a haunted house. And so, yeah, we're gonna talk to her about everything that comes along with owning and operating a bona fide haunted house.
Yeah, and this is interesting because I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know where it sits at this point, but I know Whisper's estate has been for sale for a while. I don't know if they kind of pulled back on it because of COVID or what, but for those of you listening out there, you know, this could be, you know, a training seminar on how to buy Whispers or any other haunted house that's on the market. So I'm very excited to talk to Jill. I'm super pumped about that. I'm going to immediately ask her if she's related to Mary Shelley, even though Mary Shelley was her married name. So it wouldn't be by blood. It'd be Pierce Cellos. I'm drunk on life.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I was just saying Mary Shelley, she can't technically be related to Mary Shelley via the last name because Shelley was Mary Shelley's maiden name. Married name.
Married name.
Right? So.
Well, do you know for sure that she took her spouse's name?
Yes, because she was married to I can't say his damn name. Pease Bryce Shelley. The damn famous author, poet guy. Oh my God. What is his name? I'm going to have to look. I hate his freaking name. Percy Bysshe Shelley. There we go.
That was difficult to say.
Well, the middle name is Bysshe. Some Welsh stuff that I am just not familiar with. Okay. I've always just said Bryce, but I know it's not Bryce. It's like Bysshe.
Like
something
all
like that.
Like all the people that thought the main character of Metroid was Seamus.
Right, yeah, Seamus. but yeah, so she was married to Percy Shelley. I said, I'm going to skip the B part. Percy Shelley, he's a great author, man. Wrote some amazing stuff. I'm, you know, just absolutely phenomenal. But anyways, yeah, that's why she, you know, can't be related to Mary.
Through my logic. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So Jill Shelley's going to be on the show tonight talking about some haunted houses. But before we get to her, we need to get to our segments of the week, beginning with, as usual, the psychic word of the week.
And now, the psychic word of the week.
All right, psychic word of the week. This is, as always, comes from the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary by June G. Bletzer, PhD. Rest in peace, Honey Bear. Way we do this is we usually just flip through the pages until we find something that grabs our eye. I landed on page 495, and the phrase that I hit was psi conducive state. And that's PSI. So psi conducive state. Looks like there's two definitions here. The first one is in the category of psi tasks, and it says a condition of the experimental area in which the attitude of the experimenter and subject are desiring for the psychic ability to flow. It also says inconclusive after that. The second definition is under parapsychology, which says an acute state of subconscious alertness brought about by meditation for at least 10 minutes beforehand. This quiets the body, emotions, and conscious mind to bring the psychic to a higher level of awareness and helps him or her maintain a neutral and passive attitude. This also says inconclusive at the end. So.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Not really sure where to take that.
So essentially what it means, I think essentially what it just means is relaxation. Like, essentially it's like that chill down, getting in that state of mind to have visions
like,
or to whatever. I mean, like I do it before I read tarot. I kind of meditate and I chill beforehand just to relax and release the day. Well, theater students, we do this all the time. Theater people, we get rid of all that shit, leave it at the door. And that's essentially what the psi conducive state seems like to me.
So it's almost like the state you get into, like, pre-meditation too, I guess
but I don't even know if it's pre-meditation because I feel like it's during. I mean, that's what meditation does, is get you calm. Now if you're talking about the type of meditation where you're doing some work, you know, as opposed to just traditional meditation, which is the no mind is essentially, that's this this psi-conducive state. But if you're doing work during your meditation, that's a little bit different type of meditation. So,
oh, well, then I guess I do it all wrong, because that's the only kind of meditation that I do.
Like, not all meditation is guided meditation. Not all meditation is a purpose. Sometimes meditation is simply just to be in the present moment. I mean, that's how I meditate. That's how I deal with my anxiety and things like that. I traditional Buddhist meditation, where you focus on your breath, and that's all you do for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, however long. I've even done so for an hour, and you almost kind of trance out a little bit and go into this kind of state where you're just calm, right? Because you're just focusing on the now. And so for people that have depression, who worry about the past, or anxiety because we worry about the future, for this brief moment, we're sitting in the present. And so we don't have anxiety, we don't have depression for that moment.
So like I do, I mean, I don't, so I know we're not really, but like I don't get off, I don't, excuse me, do guided meditations very often. Like I have been because of this gateway experience stuff, but usually I do what you're talking about. I just get really calm, get into a state. But then once I'm in that state, like I ask for guidance, intervention,
sure, you're
visions.
Still, I'm still doing a guided meditation. You're just asking for guidance from your guides, or from higher powers, or even yourself. Whereas just, you know, normal meditation is just that. It's just staying in that state. And if your mind wanders, bringing yourself back to that state, it's just, it's calming. It can lower your heart rate. It can lower blood pressure. It does a lot of really great things, and apparently can get you ready to be more psychic. So, yeah. So, I mean, essentially, yeah, now I get what you're saying. So, yeah, the very beginning part of your meditation is indeed getting yourself into a psi-conducive state to do mental work.
So I would say that even when you're doing your hour long just breathing to be calm, that's still doing work, right? You're still doing doing mental work to be calm.
Technically, yes.
Okay.
Technically, yes. But anyways, if you do it right, you hit a point where it becomes, you know,
second nature. Yeah, like second breathing. Nature.
Yes, exactly. So, and that's where you want to get. That's where you want to be. So, but anyways, thank you, Junji Bletzer, for that wonderful debate. And let's go ahead and move right along. And I guess we'll go ahead and jump into our cryptid of the week.
Hi, y'all. It's the Jersey Devil. Hope y'all are ready to meet some of my friends.
Cryptid of the Week.
All right, so we've got our cryptid of the week. Thank you, Jersey Devil. This week, we're going to be talking about one of his really good friends that I don't know if he's really met or not, but it is the Beast of Bladenboro.
Oh, yeah, I know him. He's real cute. Just likes to suck on things.
Shut, Jersey Devil. Relax. So the Beast of Bladenboro also is known by, this is also known as the Vampire Beast. Location is Bladenboro and Clarkton, North Carolina. This refers to a creature responsible for a string of deaths in that area of animals, I apologize, in the winter of 1953 and 1954. According to witnesses and trackers, it was likely a wildcat, but its identity was ultimately not definitively confirmed. According to reports, the animal commonly crushed or decapitated its victims, which were mostly dogs. It is found in the woods and swamplands. The Beast of Bladenboro is described as looking like either a feline or a bear, somewhere between 90 and 150 pounds and somewhat larger than 4 feet long. The size was frequently remarked on, with witnesses mentioning how it shared characteristics with a cat, albeit one that was exceptionally large. Not only was it known for crushing animals and decapitating them, but it was known to drain the blood of local pets and just inflict massive damage on their bodies. Reports of crushed or flattened heads suggest a creature with large, powerful jaws, and also mention other animals killed by the beast, including goats, cows, and hogs. Some people think that it could have been a wolf or a panther or a wolverine, but of course, no one knows for sure. The one thing that is agreed upon is that the beast was quadrupedal, violent, and predatory. The Beast of Bladenboro killed all these pets and everything starting on December 29th, 1953. This lasted for over a week. Armed townspeople took to the forests and swamps looking for the beast. And a number of cougars and other animals were killed in the process, but the vampire beast was never, ever caught. There's all these people that caught all these animals saying, hey, we found him. we got him, but they did not. And it says that, of course, you know, like most of these areas having these monsters, there are usual festivals and things like that. So of course, Boost the Borough, which is a community booster for Bladenboro, holds an annual Beast Fest in which the Beast of Bladenboro, also known as Bob, serves as mascot. And they have a ton of events that all go around that, all around the vampire beast, the Beast of Bladenboro and all that stuff. So lots of fun stuff. This is Beast of Bladenboro. So enjoy that.
Yeah, he's real cool. He likes to drink.
Thanks. Thank you, Jersey Devil. Very, very interesting. It almost sounds like a large chupacabra to me.
Well, I was wondering if it was so. What was it called? Oh, kill. There's like some, but this has six legs. But I saw on Twitter, Greg Newkirk had posted a picture that some high school, like out in Wisconsin or something, has a cryptid as their mascot, and it's like that. It's like the some kind of a cat, but it's got six legs.
Hmm. I wonder, there's some really interesting drawings, of course, what people think that it looks like, and it doesn't look like there's a definitive. Definitive version, but yeah, I have heard of that if it's something that's super popular and the community has really rallied around it, that they may take that and make it their mascot. I mean, shit, some of these are, I mean, if you look at it, dragons and things like that, those are all mascots that are essentially cryptids. So
I mean, you know, things that we may not know of or can't necessarily prove, but some people, you know, lots of people believe that are really out there and really exist, you know, like Jesus and other things like
that. Well, it's funny that you say that because there is a church called Peace Lutheran Church in South Carolina that has a group called the Christian Cryptids, and they talk all about cryptids of the Bible, as well as other cryptids and what that may mean. I would be really interested in joining that Sunday school class.
Really? Yeah, really.
So, but anyways, we're going to move on, Joshua. Let's go ahead and see what you got for us this week for our UAP sighting of the week. All right, so again, UAP sighting of the week. You have pulled from MUFON this week, right? For our unidentified area phenomenon?
UFO? I did. And I was actually wondering if MUFON was going to change their name to MUFAP.
Oh, you know what? We should have asked Shane.
Well,
it wouldn't be MUFAP. It'd be
MUAP. MUAP.
MUAPIN. MUAPIN.
Anyways,
I don't know.
Yeah. Now MUFON's a household name. So, yeah, this comes from MUFON, and I looked at I wanted to look at good old Kentucky to see what popped up. And so this actually came from, this happened on February 9th. So here recently.
Wow.
In Covington, Kentucky.
Over up by the Newkirks.
Yep.
A chevron-shaped formation of white lights moving very fast, no sound, and it seemed very wide. Each light was perfectly and equally distanced from each other. No body or surface of a plane or machine was seen. I was looking at Orion's Belt in the sky with my naked eyes, and it passed to the southeast in direction. I felt it was very high in the sky, It was above cloud level as it disappeared behind a thin cloud cover.
Ooh, man, you gotta love them ones with the clouds out.
So, you know, first of all, when I first read this, I was thinking Starlink, right? Because evenly spaced, but they specifically said chevron shape.
Yep.
And Starlink is a straight line.
Straight line.
So, chevron shape is, you know, pretty much, you know, it's like a V, right? It's the V shape.
Yeah, like a boomerang.
So, yeah, or like most people think of it, chevrons on a military uniform, right?
Yeah, like the so little, I always used to call those arrow toppers. I didn't know what they were when I was a kid.
Okay, then. So, yeah, but so the kind of V shape. So, yeah, I mean, it's not easily confused with a straight line of equally spaced satellites. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very interesting. And you know, I've actually, the times that I've been able to go out this winter and just look up at the sky, Orion has been always been right there, front and center. Mm-hmm.
It's winter.
So yeah, it's one of the great constellations to look at. So
yeah, in my opinion, it's one of the most recognizable because of how large it is. Like that and the Big Dipper, I think, are probably the two easiest.
Well, the movie The Men in Black, who, you know, talk about Orion's belt, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So yeah. Yeah, so it's good stuff. And that, you know, like I said, I put up in the Covington area, which, you like you said, pointed out is close to around Cincinnati and stuff. And
by the Loveland Frog.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. And we'll go ahead and get moving on to our final segment before we get to Jill Shelley, which, of course, is Creepy Ketchup.
Creepy Ketchup. Creepy Ketchup. Creepy Ketchup! Creepy Ketchup! Y'all, it's creepy.
Yeah, here's a little old school. Suck it, Brad. That's what I'm saying. Just good, just badass theme song, man. That's what I'm saying. No, Creepy Ketchup, man. We had some similar Creepy Ketchup this week. I only had one thing happen, and it happened this morning. I went outside. And there was, as I step outside, I could hear it. There was a very low in the sky, unmarked black helicopter hovering in the sky above my apartment complex, right where I'm at. And I walked down the stairs. I'm watching it. And as I kind of stepped out onto the parking lot area, it like zoomed away. And I was like, okay. like I said, just kind of weird.
Yep. It's the Men in Black, man.
The Men in Black. This is not the first time I've seen an unmarked black helicopter low to me. I don't know. We did just talk to Alan Greenfield, so I'm like,
right. Well, and weren't you at work? When we got back from Point Pleasant.
Yes,
and,
that's what I'm saying. It landed in the field next to where I worked, man, and then just took off. Nobody got out. Nobody got in. Just floated like dark windows. I couldn't see through it. It just sat there for a little bit and then zoomed away as my computer went all crazy.
Yeah.
It was just sitting there. And I almost forgot about it, which I told you earlier. It's like, I almost forgot about it. These things are becoming so regular that they're not even like standing out anymore.
Well, see, I think that, you know, I was thinking about when we were talking about that I think that's probably the way that they want things to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if UFOs or that kind of weird stuff is so commonplace that it doesn't even make the news anymore, that's the level of saturation that we want society to be at, so that if an event actually happens, nobody will freak out about it.
Right. But until then, it's all of us hanging out in the aluminum noddy.
Yeah.
With our foil hats.
That's right. y'all pick up one of those shirts, okay?
Yep.
So
pick up one of them shirts on fifthgatepodcast.com/store.
Yep. So yeah. So is that all your Creepy Ketchup though?
That's it. I have not had anything happen, man. It's been like,
yes. So I had two things. I'll start with the one that's similar to yours, and that is two nights ago, put the girls to bed. And climbed into bed, was going to watch UFO Witness on Paramount, not Paramount, Discovery Plus.
Which, by the way, I've been watching too. Very good.
Yep. Very good show.
I just watched the episode last night that is about the Hopkinsville Kelly goblins.
Yeah, so it's nice because some of the, like, especially the first episode, we saw some things that they mentioned in Unidentified, but it was nice getting some kind of deeper input into that. It was really
So
I recommend.
But anyways, so so the thing that's similar to yours is I was getting ready for bed. I was getting ready to watch a show in bed, and bring my wife reluctantly along for the ride, and we heard this like loud doo-doo-doo-doo, you know, like helicopter chopper blades, but it was so loud that it was like the concussion of the blades were vibrating like objects in my room. Like Kristen had a glass or something sitting on her table, and it was so loud it was vibrating the glass that was tinging. So
mine was like definitely not that low nor that large. Like
so, like I kind of laid there for a little bit. I was like, well, maybe it'll go away, right? You know, it's just flying over. It circled back around. So, curiosity got the better of me, and I jumped up, threw some clothes on, ran outside to see what it was. And I took a video, which I think I sent you all, but you can't really see the video.
But you can hear it.
What I could see with the naked eye was I could see it approaching me, coming up over the trees. Saw like a red light and a green light. And then as it circled, dude, it flew directly over my backyard. And it was low enough that had it been daylight, I would have been able to see the pilot's face.
Man, I'll tell you what, audience doesn't know this, but your wife just got you a new night vision video camera. And good God, I wish you had had that night.
Oh, I know. It's crazy that I got it the very next day.
Like, she was probably like, we need to find out what's going on.
Well, so I come inside and I run downstairs to get my flashlight. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I get my flashlight so I can shine it at it. It's like, is that a good idea? I was like, they're flying around my house at freaking 8:30 at night, like running no light. I mean, other than the two lights that I saw as it was coming at me, there was no lights on the craft. And it was crazy because it kept circling pretty much like it was flying almost like a pattern. Now, it's like we jumped on the Nextdoor app and somebody's posting about that they had a clip from the sheriff department saying that the military was going to be doing training exercises. But I'm like, that's ridiculous. Training exercises at 9 o'clock at night, flying that low over top of people's houses.
And out by where you are?
Yeah, exactly. Like, where do they train you? And I couldn't really see it that well because it's dark, but I could see a general outline of it. And it looked like a Chinook, which anybody who's not familiar with what a Chinook is, it's a two propeller helicopter. So it's got the front, it's got a front set of blades and a rear set of blades, and it's mainly a troop carrier type thing. It's, like, carry small ATVs and stuff like that, but I mean, that's a pretty large helicopter to be flying that low at 9 o'clock at night.
100% yes.
And it went on for like probably about 45 minutes to an hour before it finally, like, I could tell that they were moving away. So, yeah, Kristen is jokingly saying, good job, dear, because I was talking about having, we had Alan on, and then also I had been reaching out to various UFO people, to talk about, them coming on the pod. So, hopefully some of that will play out. But I mean, she's like, it's good job. They're interested in you again. So
she knows now.
So my other creepy catch up though was I we've talked about it a lot before that I feel like there's something in the woods behind my house, and I've even got that video that I put up on YouTube where I snapped that picture, and it looked like, like you zoom in and cleaned it up, it looks like kind of like this goblin-y looking face that's peeking behind a tree looking at me. And so anyway, so I was standing in my living room just kind of looking out. Like, I wasn't even looking out in the backyard. I just happened to glance in the backyard, and the section of the woods that I glanced at, like it was probably like maybe I looked at it for 3 seconds, let's say, you know, but in that 3 seconds that I looked at it, it was like this shimmer, like the Predator. That's why I asked you to like remind me about Predator. But it was like that kind of like that, you know, shimmer of like something moving. You know, like I saw the woods behind it, but it was like distorted as it moved, like it almost like it was wearing some sort of a cloaking suit, and it was distorting the light that was coming back to my eyes. It was, like I said, it was really weird. I looked away, I looked back, I tried to examine the area, and I never could see anything else about it. So I don't know if it was like a trick in my eyes or something was moving around back there, you know, that didn't want to be seen. So
I don't know. That fits kind of some of your other theories or thoughts on things that are roaming near your house already. And it's like, what if they're combined? Whatever, the same thing. What if it's like they've got like a small base there underground or something?
Well, or maybe they're just interested in me, you know. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, do a lot of this UFOs and aliens and stuff like that. Do they conduct things more at night so they don't have to use their technology as much, right, to try to stay hidden? You know, it's like I saw the leg move out of sight, and I saw I don't think I told this on the show, but the figure that I saw in the backyard, it was like white and had long arms and stuff. So I mean, it's, you know, and all that stuff was at night, so this was obviously during the day that I saw the shimmer. But I don't know, it's just really weird. So like I've got that, like I said, we've got that night vision camera now, and it's the battery is supposed to last for about 2 hours. So one night that it's not raining or snowing, I thought about just setting it up and let it run and record for 2 hours and see what I catch.
Good luck. All right, is that all you got?
That's all I got.
All right, well, let's get to our quick ad break so that we can get to Haunted House proprietor Jill Shelley. So stick around after the break, and we'll be right back. Hey everybody, Stefan here. This episode is sponsored by the great folks over at Box Mountain. Box Mountain is a subscription box service that has my favorite sub box yet, the Cryptid Crate. You see, Josh got one of these for his birthday, and I was super jealous because it was packed full of merchandise pertaining to cryptids. The box he received first was all about the Flatwoods Monster, which of course is one of our favorites, and it had a t-shirt, a book, a patch, mug, and some awesome stickers. So I checked out the price to get one for myself, and let me tell you, it is well worth the value. These make excellent gifts for yourself or even friends that are cryptid lovers as well. Now, if you use the coupon code Fearscape, you will get 25% off the first month for any new subscription or 10% off individual purchases. So go ahead and head on over to fearscapepodcast.com/cryptidcrate now and get yourself one today.
You've heard us talk about all the amazing books we've been able to listen to on Audible. Everything from fiction to sci-fi to true crime and more. Audible is the leader in the audiobook industry with a library of over 200,000 audiobooks. Start listening now by going to fearscapepodcast.com/audible.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Fearscape. Thank you guys for sticking around after the break. Like we said, we're very, very excited. We have a very special guest here with us tonight, the proprietor of the Boyd House, Jill Shelley. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. We are hyper and crazy.
Yeah.
My ADHD is on cray today. I even took my medication. I don't know what's going on. I got a zest for life is what's happening, so that we can talk about the afterlife with you.
I think that you had reached out to us because you are the owner of the Boyd House in Boyd, Minnesota. And the Boyd House is a haunted house, I believe. That's correct. Probably why yep. you would own it.
Yeah, I see here. Yeah, it says it's a 4-story, 2,100 square foot home built in 1901. That's old.
Yep.
No one was alive then.
So I had a question. Are you residing in the house, or you just own it for the purposes of it being a haunted house?
Own it for the fun of the haunted house thing. Just love doing a lot of research there, allowing other people to come in and research and just learn and try to figure out who the heck's all haunting the place.
Well, now, before you got involved with it, was it already kind of an established haunted house place? Much like in Indiana, close to Josh, we have the Whispers Estate, which has been a haunted house attraction now for a number of years, and they're trying to sell it. So we told our listeners, hey, listen to Jill if you want to learn how to buy a haunted house.
Yeah.
The Whispers Estate is still for sale, so... But yeah,
I thought somebody bought that place already.
Oh, well, again, we said we don't know. It's been a while since we've looked into the story, so someone may have bought it. I didn't know.
Yeah, no, I've actually been there twice. Yeah,
I did my 40th birthday there. It was so much fun. I absolutely loved it. But yeah, back to my question is was this kind of an established kind of attraction before you bought it, or did you turn it into such?
I didn't turn it in because it was already haunted, but it was a residential home, actually.
Hmm.
Some people lived there for actually 30 years, and then they actually sold the home. And I ended up finding it because of that, you know, obviously traveling around to haunted locations, I wanted to own my own place and also to do the research. So I just kind of started looking on the MLS, you know, looking for, you know, certain criteria, and I came across the Boyd House. I fell in love with the pictures right away. I was like really drawn to it. It was almost like, almost obsessively drawn to it. Like every day I would look at the pictures, and I hadn't gone to look at it yet. You know, I just kind of fell in love with it.
That makes me ask two questions. First one is, one, did you live near it already? And B or two, oh Lord, it went right out my brain. So we'll just go with the first one. Is did you live near it?
No, I didn't. It was quite a drive for us. And actually, even when we went there to look at it, one of my teammates and I were just waiting outside, and the realtor hadn't arrived yet. And I was like, "You kind of get the feeling like something's staring at you out that attic window." And she's like, "Yeah." So. And then, we got some great stuff when we went in there because our realtor is really cool. She knew that, you know, I wanted to buy a haunted location. Mm-hmm. So when I'm coming, I'm coming to do like mini investigations. So, you know, bringing equipment and stuff. And we had the REM pod go off within 8 minutes after being there. And then we got some really good spirit box responses. And you just kind of felt like somebody was there. Like they were kind of staring at you from afar, you know. The house was welcoming, but yet, you know, kind of like, a distance. I don't know.
Like they were cautiously interested.
I think that's what happens when you have a house of spirits as opposed to like malevolent ones. Like they can still kind of be malevolent, but they're more cautious. And like you're stepping onto my property, right? So,
well, you don't know what kind of the family that lived there before may have just completely ignored any activity, and it was the wind, it was, you know, whatever. And so, you know, if spirits are in fact trying to get people's attention and they spent the last 30 years being ignored, then they might be more apt to welcome, you know, those who are willing to acknowledge that they're there.
Right.
Yeah. And actually I did speak to the previous owners because, you know, I had that some of the evidence the first time we went. Checked with the medium that I trusted, and she told me there were stick spirits there. So I thought, well, let's clinch the deal. Let's see what the owners have experienced. And they were kind of real hesitant to really talk about a lot of stuff. But they did. The one mom said, you know, I always thought that house was funny. That's what she said.
Yeah. That's a common term is funny.
She said sometimes they'd hear old fashioned music. The kids every once in a while would see a man sitting in a chair. They would just have some stuff happen, but they didn't really pay attention. People have been touched in the house, you know, as they were growing up. Some of their friends would be touched at night, you know, on a sleepover. Well,
they wanted to keep living there. It's like, if you're going to keep living there, you have to like ignore it or accept it. And sometimes accepting it is super scary.
Yeah. So they didn't really accept a lot. So they never chose to really engage with the spirits. And actually it took a while, because we probably took about 2 months to get the house kind of situated to the way we wanted. So now this is all new to them. They don't know what a REM pod is, versus like you say, you go to Whispers Estate, it's knowledge. The spirits have heard about a REM pod 900 times. They know what it is. So, you know, I almost had to like teach them, you know, to do everything in a way.
I love that.
So yeah, we spent a lot of time getting to know each other, and, you know, there are children there. So we played some games and finally got them to touch REM pod teddy bears. And it's almost as if once we started really reaching out, making communication, things have just gone off the charts, you know, with myself and other teams being there. And I think they really enjoy interacting.
That's fantastic. What? Yeah. My I remembered my second part question, which was, you said that you got the criteria right on MLS. I'm like, what sort of criteria did you put in? Like, how does one put in haunted house? Now, I know like the new thing is to like have a Sasquatch in all of your pictures, right? Like, that's the new thing everybody's doing on their home pictures and stuff. But I'm like, I never thought to like, how do you look up haunted houses?
Well, you know, you just go by your gut feel. that's kind of what it all is. You know, what
I
really
love
house,
that so much.
You know, what house attracts you? I mean, yeah, nobody advertises, hey, my house is haunted, want to buy it? So,
they should.
You know, I know.
They're probably a slimmer market for those types of people. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So then, you know, I just put in like what I go from 1700 to like 1940 would be what I would do. And then I put my price range in, and I didn't care where in the state it was located. It just, if it looked cool and I had a feeling about it, I went to look at it.
That makes so much more sense. Thank you, because now I'm going to be doing that here in Arizona.
Well, it makes me, you know, it really makes me wonder though, if every residence, building, whatever you want to call it, if every building has some level of haunt to it, like, so, and I don't like using the word haunt. Like, Stefan, you and I have talked about it before. There's so much kind of a negative connotation that goes along with the word haunting, but like, it, you know, does every residence or domicile or whatever, does it have some sort of a spiritual attachment outside of the people who live there? So could any building be, you know, I don't know, haunted, for lack of a better word?
I mean, if you got all that energy, I mean, you've got people that built the house. I mean, if you're looking at haunting as being more than just a spirit, right, it could be anything. That's my opinion. Could be, you know, you could have the energy of people that have worked on. I don't know. What do you think, Jill?
Well, you know, I don't think every place is haunted, but like you said, every place has some sort of energy to it. Mm-hmm. So you could have that residual, as they say, residual haunting, where it's like the same thing every time, almost like that imprint in time.
Yep.
You know, and that could be something that people would be considered, oh, it's haunted by a ghost because this happens every time at like 12 o'clock, but you're not really understanding the theory behind what's really going on.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. I talked to my realtor when I first moved out here, and I kind of like lightly broached the subject of the paranormal, you know, to kind of just gauge, because he was kind of a cool guy. And I was like, all right, let's see if he's into this stuff. He's like, man, I have some stories. And just not only from being a realtor, in which he told me a number of crazy stories of just houses and condos and things that he sold and been around, but he also did, what do you call it? When you take care of bugs. I can't think of the name.
An exterminator.
Thank you. He's an exterminator and sprayer for years, because, you know, they have tarantulas and scorpions and stuff. So it's a big business out here. And he's like, I'll tell you what, I've got more stories from when I was an exterminator of things that he found underneath like porches and houses. Just stuff where people didn't know that there were bodies buried under there. Just all kinds crazy stuff. And he's like, I knew that house would be haunted the second I walked in, because I seen some shit underneath the house. So like, you can only imagine. He said there's so many. He's like, realtors, he said, those of us that are cool with the paranormal, we talk about this stuff all the time. but they don't put it out there because the majority of people, it is assumed that would hinder the sale. So they don't want anybody to know. He's like, but man, he's like, way more than you realize are haunted.
Yeah. I could imagine.
You know, I mean, I could just imagine, though, you have your realtor for the purchase of your home. You have your inspector that inspects the structural integrity. Mm-hmm. You need a shaman to come in and help cleanse the home before you buy it. I mean, it's like a budding industry right
there.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, man, or a priest to exercise.
Or, you know, whatever. Whatever you want to, you know. I imagine the little guy from The Mummy, the Brendan Fraser mummy, who's got all the different things on. He's holding each one of them. You know, it's like that guy. He just shows up with whatever kit he needs for that particular house.
Yep, so. Jill, and we can get you on to do the how-to video. That's
yeah, there you go.
So I did notice that on your all's the Boyd House Facebook page, that you all had some offerings for people to come and stay in the house for like a couple of nights or a weekend or something. Is that something that you all do very often or?
Yeah, we actually allow overnight private paranormal investigations 365 days a year. But right now, so what we're doing is running a special promotion for two nights stay. So we're knocking $50 off the normal price. So it'd be $300 for two nights. To stay at the house, and we're running that through the 1st of March, but you can book anytime during the calendar year.
Now, how long have you had this place?
Almost 2 years now.
So, boy, so you had it for a year and then COVID hit. Has that impacted you guys very much?
You know, it did. It's always slow getting up and running anyway, you know, because you got to get people in and get the word out, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, we was really hoping with the, you know, unfortunately with the 2020, we had all these conventions we were going to go to and promote. And I'm super excited because I got like this, you know, what was it, like a 7-8 foot tall sign that I could put outside and everything. Well. So we're hoping 2021 will be better some of the conventions, but it's really been picking up probably towards fall. I think people kind of got the just bug to go travel, and it has been all of a sudden booming, crazy busy. We have a lot of weekends booked up and a lot of teams been coming out and a lot of good reviews. So yeah, things have been great.
Good. Well, I hope with more of the vaccinations and things like that, I hope you guys see a lot more business. You know, things like this were already good anyways because of the private function of it all. You know, you're already putting together a group of people that you would only be around with anyways, and kind of fits those state, you know, maximums and things like that. So I'm glad to hear you guys pulled through because so many, you know, small businesses did not make it. And, you know, of course, we're biased towards things like this. So.
Yes. It never stopped anybody, I don't think. I mean, I think it slowed us down for a while. But
sure. Especially at the very beginning, I bet you, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So is there, let's just kind of shift a little bit more towards the house itself. What's the, I don't know, craziest or off-the-wall thing that you have experienced at the house?
Oh, my gosh, there's been lots of things.
Yeah, if you got extra,
top,
feel
top
free
three,
to
share. You know, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, one of the coolest things I had is in the basement, I'd set up a poker game for him, and I had gotten coins from the 1900s and one big gold coin, and I had put it out, and I do not know how to play poker, 1 ounce, maybe 21, that's about it, but I'm, like, shuffling the cards, saying, 5 cards high, whatever, low, I just shoot out the term, you know, and I passed the cards, and I would do this every time I went down there. But every time I was down there, I pushed one card to the edge of the table. It never hung over the table. It was just right to the edge, and it was separate. And I kept saying, okay, if you guys are enjoying the card games tonight, please throw this card off the table. That'll let me know that you enjoyed the night here. And then the last time I came down and shuffled was about 11:30 at night, and 11:45 they threw the card off the table, and I caught that on film.
Awesome.
Spectacular.
So, yeah, and we had been getting a lot of REM pod action, too, on that table. Like, for, like, 3 hours, it was constantly going on, off. You'd run down there and it'd stop, you know. And so, then, yeah.
So I am not I was telling Stephanie the other day, I am more of a UFO gadget guy. So,
whereas I'm the ghosty guy.
What's a REM pod?
That's a radiating electromagnetic energy. So it's kind of like a a magnetic field detector in a way.
Okay.
So if something comes close and breaks that barrier, that alarm's going to go off. I mean, there are things that can set it off, you know, if you, like sometimes the cell phones, you know, walkie-talkies. So you have to take that all in consideration. But for the most part, you need to get really close to set that thing off.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, Josh, I'm sure you've seen those on many ghost hunting docks.
I probably have. I just didn't know what it was called.
Right.
So I'm a very visual. I'm a very, you know, like I've seen those, the like the meter that's got the green, yellow, red.
Yeah, the K2 meter. Yeah.
Like a light that goes back and forth. I assume it's something along those kind of lines.
That's the EMF reader. So same thing, electromagnetic field.
Josh okay. still thinks there's proton packs. So
hey, I don't want to cross the streams, man. I don't want to cross the streams. So
Before we get to your other two, I did want to say, I know you said that there was a video. Is there a place we can see that video, that people can see that video of that card?
You can actually go to our Facebook page, and we have that online. You just kind of have to scroll through our pages. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, I don't know when we shot that. But then also, if you're not a part of Facebook, if you go to our YouTube channel, and that's actually under our paranormal, so that's St. Croix Paranormal, and you can find the Boyd House documentary that I made, and you'll find it in there.
Great. Yeah, and I very easily was on the Boyd House Facebook page here and just clicked videos and can find a ton of great stuff. The YouTube page is easy to find, as well as the St. Croix Paranormal website. So yeah, we'll I know I'm gonna be watching this tonight. Just that one alone. But you said you had a bunch. Were there some other stories that just were good ones?
The very first night I stayed in the house, which what I found interesting about it is that the medium I spoke to before I bought the house, I really trust her. And she said that the first night you stay in that house, you're going to hear the man come in through the back door from gardening. You're going to hear him. Huh. I hadn't purchased the house yet, nor did I say I was going to. So for her to say the first night I stayed there, so it's like she already knew. But I was walking through the house and like, it was getting kind of late and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, nothing's happened. Maybe she wasn't right, you know, and, you know, just kind of like, okay. So I just happened to be walking by the basement door, which it goes down a flight of stairs. And then there's another door to the back that goes outside. All of a sudden I heard this bam, 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 like three really loud knocks on the door as I walked by. Of course I jumped like 10 feet. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I totally was not expecting that. And then I tried to debunk it. I'm like, okay, was it wind gust? Was it this? And then there was absolutely no reason for that to have happened. And then to kind of verify that, we had spoke to somebody in town who actually can kind of see spirits sometimes. And I hadn't mm-hmm. told anything what the medium had told me. And she said, you know, sometimes I see a guy in the backyard gardening and he walks in your house.
Ooh. Awesome.
So I was like, well, there was a nice verification right there. So that was a good one. And then I think probably just the other one that was pretty good too, we had hung up a picture. I stopped at an antique shop and hung up a picture in the main bedroom. And I said, gosh, I hope you guys like this picture. And later when I got home, I actually got an EVP of the woman saying, I don't like it. But at 7 o'clock in the morning, we kept hearing all this loud knocking coming from the wall where I had hung the picture. Like, I don't know if she was trying to get it off or what. So that was, I mean, it woke us up out of a dead sleep because it was like 7 a.m. and we were just sleeping. And all of a sudden, you just heard all this knocking.
Was it maybe the picture pulling away from the wall and knocking back, you know, like trying to move it actually, you know what I'm saying? Like the pull the picture away from the wall and then it swings back and knocks against the wall. And you pull the picture and swings back and knocks against
the wall. No, it was actually like somebody just going knock, knock, knock on the wall. Yeah. And we were like, and it did it like four times in a row. And we just both looked at each other. My husband and I, I'm like, did you just hear that? Where did that come from?
Oh, wow. I love that stuff. That's the way my sister's a medium. And when we went to Whisper's estate before, you know, like she had already made a few kind of predictions of things she thought she'd see. And then, of course, they start to tell us a story and she's like, this is, you know, so those were always like the good moments. Those are the ones, you know, are like probably legit. It's really good to have a medium you can trust. And then in that act, the other person, too, is really cool, too.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering, if the people in the area or the town were, you know, were open to the attention that is coming to the house and coming into the town. And
yeah, because I know the Whispers Estate neighborhood, not a fan.
Yeah, I think for us it goes 50-50. Of course, you're gonna have people who do and don't agree, but we are finding a few more people coming forward, and I think they're kind of enjoying. You know, honestly, this town, I mean, they are great people, but it's a real small town. It's like 157 people, 75, oh, wow. I think. So real small town, and so I think they're kind of liking some of the attention. I know they've always enjoyed talking with the investigators. A lot of times, if they're outside taking a break and somebody's walking by, they'll stop and chit chat with them and that kind of thing. So it is a good friendly town.
So then I assume being that small, it's probably not in a neighborhood, so to speak. So how far is the closest house to the Boyd house?
No, it's in town.
Oh, okay.
It is mostly farm country. I don't know how many houses are exactly in town, but it's small. Our house is actually located on what would be the edge of town. The old owner back in the 1900s was Fred Eckert. He actually owned not a hardware store. He owned a dry goods store. They sold fancy clothes, shoes, food, you name it. He did it. He helped build the church. He was part of the fire department, very well-respected businessman. He died in the home as well, and we know he's still there. But it's really just a hop, skip, and a jump into town. Literally, we walk a kitty corner across the street, and there we are. So we were actually the first house on the edge of town back in the day. And then there actually was a blacksmith across the street, which now there's a house there. But if we look back at the pictures when the town was first around, they had actually had 500 people in town. And it was like a Wild West booming town. They had, just the cowboys and the Indians. Well, not the Indians, but they had, they did, because they were actually butted up against the Sioux Dakota reservation line.
Right, yeah, I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that was close by.
Yeah, so we don't know what kind of activity. We've researched and we can go back about, early 1900s is all of the information that I'm finding, So whatever happened back in the 1800s, we may never find out. So there could be a lot of history, that's happened on this land as well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what I was wondering if the house looks like it's all in its kind of original configuration.
Quite a bit of it is. I've heard now some of it's been renovated by other people, but it's still got that old look. So it's got a lot of the old. It's still got a lot of the old natural woodwork in it. It's got a really cool glass chandelier. So we're kind of finding out some stuff. I've had the great grandson over, and he kind of explained where things used to be in the house and where some pillars used to be. But a lot of it is still really maintained in the original. And we've brought the house back that way too. We've kind of put the old Victorian wallpaper up. We've furnished it with all the Victorian furniture, and just trying to bring it back to the way it was.
My grandparents lived in a house that was built in 1825.
Oh, cool!
And when it was original, the house original, of course, it didn't have a bathroom because there was no indoor plumbing, and so the half of the house was a doctor's office on the first floor, a schoolroom on the second floor above the doctor's office, and then the other half of the house was living quarters. And so when they came in the 40s and they renovated the house to make it more resale friendly, they put in a bathroom inside. And so where the bathroom is where the kitchen, the huge fireplace, double-sided fireplace with where they would hang the big heavy pots and stuff to cook. And my grandparents actually found the original door. It was a drilled hole door that sat in the main part of the room that allowed heat to flow to the rest of the house, but didn't so it was just really interesting to look back at how they made this 1825 house more modern. I'll use that term loosely because it still didn't have air conditioning and it didn't have heat throughout the entire house. You know, in the wintertime, I had to have like 8 blankets and a heating blanket on the bed because it would get down to like 45 in my room upstairs. But it's just really cool to see A, how they did that and then B, that all of that stuff was that way when it was built. Now, my grandmother went and registered it on the Historical Society, and they have since sold the house. The person who bought it is finding it rather difficult to do renovations because a house registered on the Historical Society has to have certain provisions. So I wondered if the Boyd house is registered and if you are running into any of those things at all.
No, not registered, and I probably wouldn't do so because, like you said, I've known about that. I've actually lived at one point in time in a historical house, and I was checking to register it. So I'm like, oh, well, they might pay for some renovations, right? And then I was like, oh, no, they do not for that type of renovation. So,
Yeah, and it's – I mean, I remember, like, you have to get – I can't remember what they're called, but they're the type of windows where the glass blown is not the right word because they don't blow panes of glass, but like it's not manufactured windows. Like you can't put manufactured windows in and stuff like that. It's just really a lot of restrictions in order for you to be a historic home. And so unfortunately the person who bought that house is just pretty much letting it fall to rubble so that he can tear it down.
That's too bad.
It's very sad. Every time I drive by it, it's like, you know, a major part of my childhood is just basically falling apart. So
those buildings are just amazing, and the construction, I mean, they're so solid, and I think that's one thing I like about the paranormal investigating. I mean, you go to some of these places and you're taking a step back in time and you're just seeing this. Yeah. It's just incredible. I love it.
Well, we've talked a little bit about the Boyd House, and we can come back to that, but I want to get to know you a little bit more, Joe. We always love to ask our people, how did you first get it, not necessarily involved in the paranormal, but start to believe it? I mean, what things happened to you that made you go, I need to get more into this?
Well, I don't know what it is. I was kind of a strange kid.
Amen.
Yeah, so I was always kind of fascinated by, you know, the paranormal and death and I, you know, just that kind of stuff at just a young, really young age. And I even remember just telling stories in the dark with my cousins, you know, ghost stories and playing, you know, stories on records and, you know, just watching everything scary and stuff. And so I was always interested in that. But at my grandma's house, we had a room that nobody liked. We all hated that room. We don't know why, you know, because my grandparents built the house, so why anything would even be there, we don't know. But it was just something about that room. It was cold. It was inviting. You always felt like somebody staring at you, that you weren't welcome in that room. And I remember one night it was just myself and my parents were sleeping in a different room, and my grandmother sleeps downstairs. And I just, you know, I was probably, I don't know, like 8 to 10 years old, and my back was towards the door, and I just kind of woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard footsteps coming out of that room, and I'm like, you know, is my parents up? And, you know, you could hear it's old creaky floor, and I'm like, no, they're still snoring, and I'm like, who is walking upstairs? You know, and you start freaking out because you're a little kid, you know, and so then it stopped right in front of my door, you know, so we slept with the doors open. And I could just feel it staring through me. And it was so intense, almost like laser beams. That's how you imagine as a little kid, like laser beams going through your body, you know? Yes. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so intense, but I'm so scared. I am not turning around. And, you know, so then, you know, then it goes and you hear it walk back into the room. And I'm just like, oh my God. And I just threw the blankets over my head and then eventually, you know, fell back to sleep. But in the morning, I was asking my parents, I'm like, did you get up in the middle of the night? No, I didn't. And I started telling my grandma the story about it. And she's like, oh my gosh, honey, he's just a ghost and he's not going to hurt you. And I was like, wow, here is my grandma, who I respect a lot. And she's like, it's no big deal. And then so I was like, I got to know more about these things, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And that just kind of fueled the fire to just kind of get me going. And you know, I guess with the advent of TV, you know, with the paranormal people coming out, you're like, oh my God, I can do this. This is a thing,
yeah.
you know? And that's kind of where that took off, and just met a great group of people in 2010, and we formed our St. Croix Paranormal, and yeah, it just took off from there. It's been a wild ride.
So just out of curiosity, and if you remember or not, the room in your grandmother's house where was always cold and such, was there a mirror in that room?
I don't think there was, because I remember there were like four beds in there, like two cot type beds and then one mm-hmm. bigger bed. And then my uncle had all his army stuff hanging in there. And then there was just a closet. But instead of a door on it, my grandma had a curtain over it, and it was okay. never really closed all the way. But no, I don't recall a mirror being in there. Yeah.
We were talking, I don't know, a couple weeks ago about where Stefan grew up. He had a doorway at the bottom of his stairs that was like to a closet, and it had a mirror on the front of it. And then we had a listener story where the person was talking about the same thing, about like seeing things or hearing things come out of the closet. It makes me wonder if, you know, made me wonder at the time, you know, because people have heard talk about mirrors or doorways to other realms and all that kind of stuff. It just made me think, you know, was there a mirror in that room? And that's where something came into that room and then walked around and then went back and went back through the portal. So,
well, it's interesting that she said her uncle had the military stuff, because my grandparents' house that my grandfather built, he was in World War II. Quick side story. He was in the very first wave of the Battle of Normandy. His entire platoon died except for him. He covered himself with their dead bodies until the next wave came in. It's a really scary story. And he survived, because a Nazi came up to check the bodies. He shot him. It's the only person he's ever killed. And he swore he would never kill again, never enact violence, but he kept that helmet forever. In fact, my brother has it now. But forever it was kept upstairs in this room. And my grandmother always said that there was this Nazi ghost that was in there, and it was there. It was still attached to that helmet and things like that. So you never know, like, what's attached to something or attached to a person or what was on the land prior or anything that it could be. And you said military, and I was like, oh, I was already going to tell this story. So you never know. You never know.
Well, it's like, I think I can't remember where I read it, but somebody had posted something, I think, on some social media that said, you know, when you go to a yard sale and you buy someone's old trinket, you never know what's attached to that thing, what you're bringing home in addition to whatever you're buying at that yard sale.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I buy a lot of antiques that come to the house too, so I don't know if that might contribute to some. And I know I bought some dolls that are supposedly haunted. Now, whether they really are or not, I don't know, but I bought them.
So, still fun. No,
and so, yeah. So they're out there. So you just never know if any of these things have attachments to them, you know?
Well, cool. You had briefly mentioned St. Croix Paranormal. And so I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Sure. You know, that's, it's not a common thing for someone to not only buy a haunted house, but to, I assume you started the group with some people. How did that all come about? I mean, how fun is that, really?
Yeah, I know. It was, started with a guy at work. So we've been really good friends, and we just started out talking about, you know, scary movies. We had that common. Next thing you know, we're talking about ghosts. And, so he's like, yeah, I do investigating. You know, he's like, I just, you know, just a few places. It's a hobby. And I'm like, oh, and so then we just kind of started doing stuff together and investigating. And then we started talking to people and found more people who were interested. And actually Donna, who is a very dear, dear close friend of mine now, her sister-in-law actually worked where I worked and said, oh, my God, you have got to meet my sister-in-law. And so me and Donna talked on the phone, and then we decided to meet in a graveyard. and we've been best friends ever since. So that, joined the group. And it's just really blossomed. You know, we just started out doing private homes and businesses locally. And then we took our very first trip was Villisca Axe Murder House. So that was our very first place. And then we just started traveling all over the U.S. and going to all those fun haunted locations, just in search of the paranormal and, you know, just bonding as friends and having a great time and meeting some awesome people.
That's so great. And that, now you get a house out of the deal.
right. There, I've reached my goals, my dreams. So yeah, it's been a crazy ride to get there, but I've enjoyed every minute of it.
That's awesome. And I'll tell you, I've pilfered the St. Croix Paranormal website. And I'll tell you, the thing that keeps standing out to me is on the evidence page, which is that shadow figure at Ashmore Estates.
Oh my gosh.
Gives
yes.
me goosebumps. What are we, there's other, what are the duck bumps, like it said in that
duck
one book.
Bumps, yeah.
Chicken skin. I just, man, like, even right now, I'm like, I got to stop looking at it because it's like, it's staring at me.
Yeah, that's Donna, man. She is our photographer extraordinaire. Oof. She will take probably, now she kind of tries to build a record every time we go of how many more pictures. It used to start out with like, I only took 500 pictures. And then I'm like, only 500? That became a joke. And next thing you know, I'm like, you took 700. I think so. She keeps going up. So,
oh, that's my like sister, Kelly, like, man. Yeah, she's a photographer.
Like about 2,000 photos at one place. But it's just click, click, click. But you know what? If she hadn't have been doing that, we would have never caught that photograph.
Well, and now, you know, like I said, my sister Kelly's a photographer, and she took some family pics, and, you know, we were there for like an hour or whatever, and we thought she maybe had like 100 pics. She had 2,500 pictures. We're like, hell, but it's because, you know, now these cameras have that click where it could take 17 pictures like very rapidly,
right.
You know, which is really great for ghost hunters and UFO enthusiasts and stuff to have a better opportunity to grab something, right? Because now you've got 17 shots or whatever it is to look at that, but that just adds to the number of pictures.
Yeah, that's I've always, you know, I'll set up I'll set up a camera in my house and let it record for 8 hours, but then I'm like, but that means I've got to sit there and watch 8 hours of video.
I still struggle on those times where I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna watch all the Lord of the Rings.
You know, or like I'm gonna set up a microphone and just let it record all night long, but I'm like, but then I've got to go back and listen to 12 hours of audio. And it's like, so who draws the short straw for having to, you know, to listen to all that?
Well, Donna likes to do the EVP, so she does all that because I hate it. So, I mean, I love it when I get something, but it's right. Like you say, it's, we're the type of group where we do leave it run from the time we go until the time we're done.
You should, yeah.
And we actually have like way too much equipment than anybody really should have. And so I put it all out. So at one time I think the most we ever put out was 22 voice recorders, and they were like 14 hours long a piece. Oh, and God. Then, you know, I think we own like 34 camcorders. So sometimes we'll set all of them up. And so, you know. And it's a lot of video, but I do a lot of the video because I like doing that.
I love it. It's commitment, though. I love
it. It is. So I spend a lot of time in my chair with my cats. So
I'm ADHD, so I'm easily distracted. Just when I edit the podcast, I'm like, wait, I just missed 12 minutes. I got to go back.
So I can't remember what the website is, but I've done it a couple of times. But it's so there's a constant search for exoplanets. And you can get on a website, and like I said, I can't remember what it is, but you can get on there and you can pull up a snippet of a radio telescope stuff, and you can look through it and see if you can spot a possibility of there maybe being an exoplanet in this particular grouping of signals. And so what you could do is farm out your, you know, combing through videos and audios and just, you know, have people sign up and listen to 30 minutes at a time, and if they think they've got something, they can click a button and submit it, and then you would go off and review it, and you know, that would get your people engaged and potentially even a Patreon opportunity there too. So
there you go.
That is a good idea. But then I would always think, well, what if we meant something?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'd be like, man, I'm a control freak when it comes to that, so I'm like, yeah, but I bet you I would have heard it.
Yeah.
So I would have still go back, and you're still going to end up listening anyways, just to double check. I get you.
I'm not saying that you take whatever they submit as goal. I'm just, but it just, you know.
Hey, I do like that. There's a great Patreon idea, though. It's like, hey, do you want to help us, you know, go through, you know, this footage or whatever? It's just kind of a fun thing to do. Like, hey, we found something. Can you find it? you know, where's Waldo, I guess.
It's that dark shadow standing at the
end. And I will say that that is, you know, one thing that we as paranormal investigators and stuff, the one thing we hope is that what we hear isn't manifested, right? So we usually, whenever there's EVPs and things like that or pictures, we try not to tell people what it is. We try to say, hey, listen, do you hear something? Yeah. You know, because then that helps us go, okay, if they said we heard turn off the damn light, we know we heard turn off the damn light, and holy crap, that's what we heard. And so that could be a way too. It's like, hey, we heard something, do you hear something? And then you, it's another, just another way to double check your facts. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, good job, Josh. You win the internet.
So what are you I guess looking forward into 2021? What do y'all have planned?
This year we didn't travel at all last year, so we got 3 trips planned this year. So we're going to go to the Stevenson Building in Nebraska, the Asher Walton House in Indiana, and then we're also going to check out this new place that just opened up in Illinois. It's the Old Salem Hospital House. Don't know much about it. They just opened, so I thought, you know, I'd check them out. So we're gonna just go to those and just continue to investigate the Boyd House when we can get there.
As I say, do you all make an attempt to, you know, get to the Boyd House like once a month or once a quarter or just whenever you can? Or
it gets booked, so we have to kind of wait until we have an opening. And of course, most of us work full time, so we have to wait on weekends and things. So it's kind of hit or miss. I mean, a lot of times I'll have to run down on like Sunday because that's a least popular day to be, you know, so I can check on things and make sure everything's going good. With the virus, we have 2 people, you know, one, Teresa's had, you know, stuff, and Donna's had stuff as far as, you know, being immune compromised. So we've been real respectful for that. So we haven't been really, we saw each other in December, and that was the first time really since COVID hit that we saw each other. And then now we're going to just start doing the traveling and things. And, you know, I've gotten my vaccine, and hopefully they'll be able to get theirs by the time our trips come around, but we're going to go ahead and go forward and do it.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Really excited about that. Yeah. Now, Josh, you two have been the ones that have communicated here. So I don't know if there's or not, but have you connected her with Tori Smith yet? Paranormal Help Desk?
No.
We always try to pitch anyone that has a paranormal group or whatever to connect with Tori Smith. She's okay. Absolutely phenomenal. She runs the Paranormal Help Desk. So essentially people come to her and say, I got a ghost, I don't know what to do. And she says, well, what city are you in? And she tries to track down paranormal hunters and trustworthy ones, of course. So we only let her know the people we like. So as well as, you know, those that have haunted homes. I know she was working on for a while, but I think that COVID kind of stopped it. They were trying to do like a first responders night to try to give to like nurses and EMTs and things like that, but paranormal stuff, so like paranormal houses and things like that. But she's absolutely phenomenal, and we'll make sure to connect you with her because the Paranormal Help Desk, that way she can send folks your way, if they're looking for a haunted house, something fun to do, or B, there's something close to you that they could use some trustworthy people to take a look into. You know, the community gets smaller and smaller.
Exactly. Yes. No, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
So I think we're probably getting a little long on time here, so want to give an opportunity for folks to, where can they find you, where can they go, we've talked a little bit about your Facebook page, we've talked a little bit about your YouTube channel. I think on Facebook it's Boyd House 217 I think is the handle. Where else can they find you?
Other than Facebook, you can look our website up, which is stcoyparanormal.com. Or if you want to email us direct with any questions or reservation requests, that would be boydhouse217@yahoo.com.
Great. Now, we will, of course, be sharing all of that. And you people, you are blanket huggers. They love to check your stuff out, so they will. But one thing we like to do with all of our guests, if they're a ghosty type person, paranormal, we got to ask, how do you feel about the opposite of that, which is either cryptids or UFO type related stuff, being someone who's in that arm of the paranormal?
Let's see. I'm kind of on the fence about the UFO thing, but then again, I don't know a lot about it. Right. You know, I can believe there is other stuff out there, you know, as far as other planets and people. But, you know, I don't know. And do they really come here? I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess I don't follow a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I can't. I'm not a non-believer, I guess you should say that.
Well,
but I don't follow it. Same with like the, you know, Bigfoots and things like that. Not really get into that.
Now, come on. You're in Minnesota. They're everywhere. No.
I don't know about that. They probably freeze to death. I think it's like 17 below right now. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I'm in Phoenix. It's 76 today. It was fantastic. What were you going to say, Josh?
I was just going to say, so if I were to tell you one documentary that could perhaps educate you on the UFO phenomena and also maybe further your education on the topic, it would be a documentary called The Phenomenon.
Okay.
It's by what's the guy that Fox is, James Fox, is that
Fox Mulder?
No, anyways, but it's got like credible witness testimony from like people in the military and things like people in the governments around the world, and it is by far a great documentary. You can watch it on Amazon. There's some other places you can look at called The Phenomenon. And if you were to watch one doc that would, you know, expand your understanding and give you some evidence, that would be my recommendation.
I'll totally check it out because I find the stuff fascinating. It's not like I haven't watched UFO documentaries before.
For sure.
I mean, everything is fascinating. Anything you don't know about is kind of interesting, or mysteries of the world. I guess I've always been a kind of sciencey kind of person.
Oh, yeah. So. You remember those books, those Mysteries of the Unknown books when we were kids that used to be in like the reference section at the library? Or like they were like Mysteries of the Unknown. I used to want all those books. But yeah, I have to agree with Josh. Phenomenon's really good, and it's kind of a modern take as well. And it's on a number of streamers for free right now. But how about for you? If there's one documentary besides something you guys would do, you should go check out the Boyd House documentary and everything else. But what's something you would recommend for people if they're interested into the paranormal to take a look at?
Oh, I don't know. Don't rely on the Hollywood stuff. That's right. For sure. I don't know if there's any particular documentary I would recommend. Just knowing that it's not like Hollywood makes it out to be, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So The Conjuring is not a documentary.
No, it is not. And what I find funny, what I learned, is when they say based on a true story, it only has to actually be about one fact. So, yep.
For sure. Yeah, we had a parent on who was the oldest daughter in The Conjuring, like in real life, and that's pretty much what she said too. She's just like, I mean, she wrote three books about the whole situation, and she's like, yeah, we didn't touch a lot on what actually happened. she was a producer too.
they should make them say loosely based.
Yeah, loosely based. Yeah. Loosely based. Fantastic. Well, I hope they make a full movie about the Boyd House starring you, because I have absolutely enjoyed this time, and I hate that we even have to go, Jill. Thank you so much for coming on to Fearscape and telling our folks all about you. We've got listeners up in Minnesota, and close. So it's like, if you guys are close, get up there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And you never know. We like to grab guests and bring them back on for other things. We might grab you and go over a topic with you sometime and have you join us in our research. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely. Would love to do it.
Thank you. And we love your ancestor, Mary Shelley. Just kidding. No. And thank you so much, Jill Shelley. Please go and check out, you know, the haunted house, like all that jazz.
Yeah, if you're on Facebook, if you look up Boyd House 217, so it's BOYDHOUSE 217 on Facebook. That's their kind of main page. And you can see all the information about the house and investigations.
You can just hit, Boyd House Haunted on Google, and you're going to find all sorts of stuff. I mean, just this page I found from the stcroixparanormal.com has all kinds of videos. I mean, it's just lots of cool stuff out there. So thank you, Jill. We'd love to have you come back on again. I'm spooked. So we haven't had a good haunting thing in a while. So yeah. Lots of good stories. You know, sadly, not sadly, but I don't have a haunting listener story tonight. I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. We haven't done this in a while, but I actually wanted to use one of our listener stories that's based off of a UFO sighting. I just really like this story. We've been hanging on to it for quite a while. And I wanted to share it because, you know, your UFO sightings are listener stories too. And they're not just for UAP sightings of the week. And so I wanted to share this one. And this one comes from Teresa from Rogersville, Alabama. And I will tell you this, not her real name. We needed to use an alias and you'll see why.
I saw something bright moving in the night sky the last few weeks of March and the first week of April. Nightly, actually. And I took pictures on April 5th. At first, I thought it would have been Venus, as it was stationary. Then I knew it couldn't be Venus unless Venus can stay stationary and then go up and down and around, all the while getting brighter and dimmer. Then in April, it stopped again and was stationary. I finally had a neighbor on the 3rd or the 4th come out to see it. And like I said, in April it stopped moving and we could see it was Venus, but in March it wasn't Venus. Now my husband, he works at the Arsenal NASA in Huntsville. It's not the first time he's joked and said it's a UFO from space or a UFO from the military, still unidentified to us. We've seen bright lights stay for an hour, then literally disappear in less than a minute. A couple of weeks later, he sent me the video of that jet that raises up like a helicopter and then takes off like a jet would. It's weird. But the ones that I saw in March were only maybe once every 5 or 6 days. However, the next day, military helicopters would buzz low all day, and those planes, the ones I just told you about, those were roaming around at night. And I'm not talking about the planes en route to the airport either. I'm talking about the ones that raise up like a helicopter and take off like a jet. Now, Rogersville is about 40 minutes to an hour's drive to the Arsenal in Huntsville. Everything revolves around Von Braun. No, he wasn't a monster Nazi, but we did finally get his name off of our concert hall. Now, don't tell the rest of the country, but we're not all characters from Deliverance. We have some of the country's best medical places and aeronautical minds in the world. Think of the moon, Patriot missiles, and sweet tea. That's what you get down here. But you also get people who will leave well enough alone as long as you ain't hurting nobody. Yes, that's twang and sarcasm together. Driving west from Huntsville, you go through Athens, a bunch of one-light towns, then cross Elk River, and then you're in Rogersville. It's still small town living with lots of farms and fields. Athens has the interstate, but it's not even that big of a city. I'm just saying this because we still have dark nights and lightning bugs and everything just a shining. I think we may notice more here near the river because of that dark. But that UFO in March, or whatever, I don't know anymore. I didn't like that. With everything that I've seen and know from my husband, this made me nervous. We usually stand behind the military because we know even with their faults, they are the best in the world. But in the past few years, you know, since 9/11, the weird stuff you see is happening a lot more often. And I don't think Venus, Mars, and other objects just randomly stopped following patterns. We know the planets have a routine, so why aren't they following it all of a sudden? Believe me or not, but there are some things afoot that I think will see the light of day sooner than we are comfortable with.
So that kind of reminds me of, we've talked about it before, our sighting with Capella.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
So, you know, Capella is a stationary star in the night sky, but yet the night that we saw it was jumping all over the place. And
we both saw it.
And it would, like, move out, like, move away from its, location and then zip back all of a sudden. And it's just, you know, so, and we've talked about it before, you know, how, if they potentially, if there are things operating in space and they want to be, they want to hide in plain sight, right? Hide in front of a planet, in front of a star that looks like a star, but yet, you know, really it's a craft that's sitting a lot closer to us. So,
yeah. And, you know, and then if you got camouflage technology, it's there. Or, I mean, if math is a universal language, then they would be able to calculate the distance needed to look exactly like that.
Yep, exactly. So, well, even if math isn't the universal language, they probably still have math. I mean, math is a math, right? It may not be the,
well, and
the
then
same
I
math
thought
as
about,
ours, but
with Capella, this is something I thought about recently, is if it is some sort of, like, camouflage technology, if it's some sort of, like, mirror-reflecting thing, what if it wasn't bouncing around, but it was the light from that star bouncing around through that camouflage, right? Like, that's what we were seeing.
That's possible, too. Yep.
That's a secondary thing I was thinking about the other day.
Yeah. Very possible.
Very, very possible. But, yeah, thank you, Teresa, from Rogersville, Alabama. We appreciate your story. You can always send in your stories to us at fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. Send them. We love them. UFO stories, cryptid stories, hauntings, whatever you got, we want them. We want them.
If it's weird, we want it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can also go to any of our social media, Fearscape Pod, or, you know, fearscapepodcast.com, submit a sighting there or chat with us on there. There's 100 million ways to reach us. We want those stories. But Josh, we need to get out of here. My zest for life has waned down. I'm tired.
That's what it's not even late where you are.
No, it's not. It's not even 7 o'clock yet. but I get tired because my ADHD gets me super hyper. And then crash, and that's what
crash.
So. Star Cruiser crash, Star Cruiser crash. Bam. Anyway, all right. So we're gonna get out of here. Thank you again to Jill Shelley. Make sure to go to fearscapepodcast.com or fearscapemedia.com to check out all of the other podcasts there. We also want to tell you guys we are raising money in March, just to do way more stuff than we're able to do with the network. And so we're just asking for some support. You're going to see some cool events coming soon, some things like that. But all through the end of this month, through the rest of March and all that, if you want to help us out and donate in any way, shape, or form, the easiest way to do that is fearscapemedia.com/support.
Yep. And also check out the store, fearscapemedia.com/store, fearscapepodcast.com/store. It's the same store. It's just whichever link you want to use to get there.
Yeah, some people are picky. So, but yeah, it's a secondary way to support us. The third way, of course, is by reviewing the show, rating the show, and sharing the show. But anyway, let's go. I'm tired. I need to get out of here. All right, this has been Stefan. And be careful. There's stuff under your bed.
Like dust bunnies.
Dang it, man. I'm trying to get a new goodbye line. Catch you on the flip side.
This has been Josh. The truth is now.
I hate you so much. All right. Remember, folks, hold those blankets extra tight because things tend to get spooky when you're listening to Fearscape. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We hope you have enjoyed this guidepost on the road of high strangeness with us. And we thank you, as always, for listening and joining our caravan to the weird and unknown. Please consider supporting us as we continue our journey to find the answers we all seek. FearscapePodcast.com/support.